I would imagine that right now there are a lot of Marys and Marthas in the room, right? And some of us are going to really, really kind of lock up on one side or the other. Oh, Mama always said I was a Martha. I made her proud, right? Or, oh, you lazy Mary just sitting around, you know. Or some kind of like version of story that surrounds those two characters that we kind of identify with. We sort of look at and say, yeah, that's me. I can see that. There's lots of Marys and Marthas here, including the men. Now, there's a a gendering here that happens. Like, we're talking about two women. We're talking about, you know, a domestic kind of thing. But there are men who are very Martha-like. And there are men who are going to, you know, line up on the Mary side. And that's fine. There's also a family thing going on. Anybody have a brother or sister? Who's always the better brother or sister? I'm actually the oldest brother, so that, of course, puts me in the right. Some people are looking at me really hard right now, too. Here is an image. Let me put this image up. Here is an image that was created of this very story. It's a little hard to see, but I hope that you'll spend just a moment or two looking at it with me. And if you haven't already, please be sure to pick up one of the devotional guides that we have been using for this season. If you haven't started it already, it's okay. You can pick back up pretty easily, but this guide also includes the art that we'll be working with inside of this space. And so they're right outside here, and I encourage you to, you know, just go ahead and pick one up and to use that as part of your devotional time, or as you're just, you know, kind of sitting around reading, it will be good. Now, so here is Mary, Martha, and Jesus. Perhaps it's hard to see some of the details, but Jesus is the one who is depicted in green, all right? Jesus oftentimes also has a soup bowl behind his head in art. Do you know what I mean? It's supposed to be a halo, but as best as we can get is a nice soup bowl behind the head. So there's Jesus. Now, Mary and Martha, they have kind of small circles as well. There is Martha in blue, right? And if you look closely, there's this kind of like handprint on her dress, and she's kind of like using her hands to do the job, right? And there she is. She's saying to Jesus, will you look at what my sister is not doing, right? And then there is Mary there in the foreground, sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's dressed in yellow. And she's having, you know, a remarkable encounter with the truth that Jesus brings into that home. She is encountering and doing the very thing that Jesus came to do. Jesus didn't show up to have a nice meal, although that will happen. But Jesus came to offer this relationship and the truth. And Mary's there, and she's receiving that. Isn't that good? Isn't that a good thing? Yes? But then, you know, Martha is, you know, lovely Martha, who is probably the older sister, because she's the one, and you know, there's no other kind of figures around. We hear about a brother at some point, but Martha's the one that opens up the door and says, come in. Now remember that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem and to the cross. There is an intentionality. There is a focus. I am going to do this. And so he is en route. There's a long journey in front of him, but he's en route, on focus, and there is Martha opening up her door. Come, come. And so they invite him into the house. By the way, they're probably not like the way that we contemporarily sort of think of house. Like, you have that front room. Many of us have had those front rooms, you know. And in our culture, there was a time when we put all the good furniture in the front room and we covered it in plastic. Do you remember those days? Right. That's where the guests came in, right? And there were coasters everywhere. It was, oh, you know, this is so nice. We invite folks into the den now, you know, or perhaps even into the kitchen. Now, the kitchen would not be the kind of affair that we would expect. Nice, you know, we would hope to have a nice kind of countertop where you're kind of working through things, and you've got microwavable meatballs and beanie weenies in the freezer, you know, that you can serve guests or whatever. And I probably discourage you from coming to my house just now. There's no indoor plumbing, right? There is no kind of way of disguising what is happening. Perhaps there was a separate room in an affluent home, but maybe not. That's the kitchen zone over there. Anybody live in a one-bedroom apartment? A studio apartment? Oh, yeah. That's when you know what you're having for dinner all the time. Now, Mary is in the business of ministering, right? In the business of looking after all the details. Did you catch the verb that I just used? She's ministering. Because her understanding is, I have this very important guest. I've heard about this guest. You know, we don't know how she is understanding the very nature of Jesus. What we know is that she has invited him in. You have an important guest. You want to provide for them. And it is an act of service, of hospitality. Isn't that the right thing to do? Certainly, culturally, it would have been what was expected to do of the women or of the lower people. I'm sorry. Those folks inside the house that were to serve, this is your job, you were to serve. But at the same time, we have the sense that it is Martha that opens up the door and lets him in. So Martha, in her place of privilege, of being functioning as the head of the household, also is working to serve. In the Greek, in the original language, Jesus says, your ministry is causing you to be distracted. Ministry. I mean, don't we lift up ministry? Don't we say that the service of others is a critical value for us to live into? So here is Mary and Martha actually doing good things. But if you look at the way that this is offered, at least the way it's translated, and really kind of read at a sort of basic level, it's either this or that. It is either you should be, you know, working on the figs and the apples and chopping and whatever was needed for a meal for several people. I mean, she opens up her door to Jesus and this kind of ragtag group of disciples, right? There they all are, this diverse group that he has included and invited into being his disciples. This whole kind of group of smelly guys off the road come into the house, and guys need to eat, right? Women need to eat too. But there is this kind of like this need. And at the same time, Jesus is inviting people to more. So there's both. If you'll notice that in the depiction here, Jesus is in green, right? How do you make green the color? Artist in here, you know exactly where I'm going with this. Desi?
Blue and yellow.
That's right. Blue and yellow. What do you see here? Blue and yellow in Mary and Martha. Very distinct, very unique to their own personality and place in the midst of that. But both of those form into what is needed, which is the very truth of Jesus. Good job, Desi. Both and. There is a need for hospitality and ministry. There is a need for concern enough about the needs of other people that you have to show up for it. You have to show up to help people to become enculturated or literate. You have to show up so that people can eat. You have to show up so that we know that we're loved. Sometimes that's showing up in very hard ways, in very physical ways. Today, later today, we will have a meeting in this space. It's in this space, right, that we will spend time talking about showing up in Appalachia. And that's an invitation that is open to everyone, not just our young people that we send off, we drag off, we try to No, it's for everyone. This is grace is for everyone to kind of kick in, just as there's so much more. And at the same time, this whole business is undergirded by a relationship with whom? I mean, we're not doing this because we're trying to be the local society of nice people. Are we? I mean, really? What will that ultimately do to check those boxes off? Oh, I kept the law. I did the things that I was supposed to do. You know, this stole that I have on today was given to me as a gift by my wife, who knows that one of my favorite passages of the scriptures says, Ephesians chapter 2. By the way, if you're not sure about what is a good passage of scripture, you should go to Ephesians 2. Maybe you should pull the page out of the Bible and glue it to the front of it. It says, you are saved by grace through faith. All right? So your salvation is tied up into a faithful response to God through Jesus Christ. It is not because you showed up and you did all the right things and you checked the right boxes and you followed the law. Oh, I have always done what I was supposed to do. No, you are saved by grace through faith. And then it goes on to say, not that you can say that you earned your salvation by works, by what you have done, but that you would respond in faith and go out and live the life of service that you were created for in the first place. The business of being pulled towards service, of doing the right thing, that's good. It's natural. It's implanted inside of us. We are born moving towards that kind of grace. We have that sanded off, or broken off sometimes. But the intentionality of God is to bring us in so that we might love as God loves. When I was in seminary, one of the joys that I experienced was being a student of Archbishop Desmond Tutu. Archbishop Tutu was, some of you may remember, very active in the resistance of apartheid in South Africa, and also a speaker of peace, even in the midst of dreadful things happening on both sides of the conflict that was there. Archbishop Tutu won the Nobel Peace Prize. He was well regarded in lots of ways, and so it was just really neat to be a student. He would come and we would have classes on Fridays, and he would do other things. He was working internationally at the time, but there at Emory University, at Candler School of Theology, he came and he sat with MDiv students. There was an article written about him in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the kind of large paper in Atlanta. And there was all kinds of anticipation to and excitement surrounding what he was doing there. And so the reporter shows up at the appropriate time at the residence where he was. They wouldn't tell us where it was, or we would have camped out. He shows up at the door and knocks on the door. There's no security. There's no staff. There was security at times because there were still people that wanted to kill him. But there was nobody there. He opens up the door. There is Tutu. And he says, "Come on in. I'm making lunch." Right? And there walks the reporter into the kitchen with Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and he's making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for the two of them. Now, you would expect that this is such a person who knows Jesus pretty well, who talked to him a lot. In fact, he was deeply embedded in a life of prayer, more so than we had any idea. He was a deeply, deeply spiritual person. But the boy needed to eat, and he thought about the reporter that was coming in 15 minutes. We need both. Martha. The Martha Tutu showed up at the door. And before they talked anything about the dynamics of love and the life of peace and forgiveness, they talked about what kind of jelly to put on the peanut butter. We need both. Because the reality is that this world and the places that we find ourselves are so complicated that we need all of that. That part within you that is Martha is not bad. It needs to be guided into service and not distracted. Your ministry should not distract you from the relationship with God and each other. That part of you that is focused on that relationship with God, it is not bad. But it should not keep you from putting your hands into the work that is needed in front of you. We sometimes want to favor one over the other. The beautiful thing about being a Methodist, the beautiful thing about what John Wesley asked us to do, was to live in a devotional life and in a life of service. And was very intentional about mashing those together. So those of you who self-identify as Martha, I see a bunch of you in the back because you've been working on chili. And those of you who self-identify with Mary, good. Embrace that. Know that that's kind of a superpower you might have. But embrace the other side too. How do we find a way to take those both and to bless? And I ask you this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.